It's been said that desperate times require desperate measures. I don't really even know exactly what that means. Maybe you do. But and my take on that is when we come to times of desperation, you know, the world says we need to take things in our own hands. We need to do whatever it takes to rectify the situation, to fix the situation. I was thinking about that this week as I was praying and preparing for this sermon, because we're going to look at a time when David was in a desperate situation in Psalm 57 and see how he responded to desperate times. The world might say, we need to take control, we need to fix it, we need to do whatever it takes. But when we look at God's Word, when we look at this psalm, we see that desperate times require desperate prayer first and foremost. Yes, there may be things that we need to do and fix and change by the power and leading of the Spirit, but it starts with God and God first. And that's where David goes. And that's what I want to talk about today. Let me just give a little bit of a background to Psalm 57. You can find the corollary to this in 1 Samuel chapter 22 through 24. But when this psalm was written, Saul was the king of Israel. And Saul had all the external things necessary to be a king, but he lacked a heart for God. And so God had decided that another person would take his place, a man after God's own heart, and that was David. And after David killed Goliath, he was initially welcome in Saul's household. But as Saul became aware that David was the guy that was going to replace him, you can imagine that his feelings for David changed. He went from welcoming David to deciding that he was going to kill David. And so David had to flee and hide from Saul because Saul had decided to end his life. And Saul is now chasing David. And Saul has essentially an army of Israel behind him. David has a very few guys with him. And when we come to Psalm 57, Saul essentially has David trapped. He's surrounded. And David and his few guys are hiding in a cave. And it looks like the end is near. Desperate times for David. So David, in his desperation, first and foremost, he turns to God. And he pens this prayer of Psalm 57. So if you have your Bibles, please turn to Psalm 57. We're going to look at this together. It's 11 verses. As I said, this is a poem. There's three stanzas. Verses 1 through 3 is the desperation of David. Verses 4 through 6 is the situation of David. And verses 7 through 11 is the exaltation of David. So let's look now at the very first section, verses 1 through 3. The desperation of David. Be gracious to me, O God, be gracious to me, for my soul takes refuge in you. And in the shadow of your wings I will take refuge until destruction passes by. I will cry to God Most High, to God who accomplishes all things for me. He will send from heaven and save me. He reproaches him who tramples upon me. Selah, God will send forth his loving kindness and his truth. You know, I was thinking back on my life, and honestly, in my life, I've had desperate times. Life has its storms. We never know when they're going to come. There's been times when I've been desperately lonely. There's been times when I felt desperately financially broke. There's been times I've been desperately tired, desperately overworked, desperately stressed, desperately physically ill, desperately scared. I don't know all your stories. Some of you have had desperate times in your past. Some of you are going through desperate times now. And some of us will have desperate times in the future, maybe tomorrow. We do not know what the future holds. In the past, when I've gone through desperate times, I do everything but go to God. I'll go into depression. I'll go into some kind of frenetic activity. I'll go into talking to a lot of my friends or people I love or care about. I'll go ask for help. And all those things might be, in some ways, positive things. But there's something about me and my human nature that when I get in desperate times, there's something inside me that doesn't want to turn to God. In fact, there's something inside of me that blames God and feels like if I turn my back on God, I'll hurt God because God allowed this to come into my life. I don't know if this resonates with you, if you've ever felt those things. David, in his moment of desperation, being a man after God's own heart, which we defined as being one who desires and pursues relationship with God over anything else, he goes to God first. He goes to God. And the first thing he does is he cries out to God. He cries out to Him. The last thing I want to do, if you're going through desperate times, is to say some trite and condescending things. But when we look at this psalm, we can learn from David. When we go through desperate times, the first thing we should do is we should cry out to God. And David does that. He cries out to Him in his pain. He cries out to Him honestly in the midst of his desperate situation. As he cries out to God, he starts to process through his situation with God. And he begins to trust in God's promises. You know, God had said he was going to be king. And he was going to do great things for God. He was going to lead the nation of Israel to be a people for God again. He was going to lead the nation of Israel in the worship of true God. He was going to bring glory to the name of Yahweh God in the world. He was going to do great things for God. And yet he was looking now at near certain death. And it probably didn't make sense to him. Why was God doing this? But he cries out to God and then he starts to trust in God's promises. There's an important point here. Prayer is the mechanism by which one can process from desperation to trust. As I've grown older, I have found that the most important thing in my walk with God is prayer. And for me, this has been true. That as I cry out to God for the things in my life that cause me hurt, that cause me pain, that cause me fear, when I get into desperate times, I have found that prayer is the primary mechanism for me to process through my desperation and go to a place of trust. As I pray through Scripture, as I pray through the promises of God. You know, in Matthew 6 and Philippians 4 and Romans 8, if you're a believer who knows God through faith in Jesus and are indwelt with His Spirit and are living, your life is dedicated to living God, knowing God, walking with God, He promises that He will meet your needs as He sees fit, as He sees them, not as we see them. He promises to meet our needs. And as we pray through our pain, as we pray through our desperation, as we pray through Scripture, we can go from a place of desperation to a place of trust. And that's what David does in this psalm. Let's continue with the situation, verses 4 through 6. My soul is among lions. I must lie among those who breathe forth fire, even the sons of men whose teeth are spears and arrows, and their tongue a sharp sword. Be exalted above the heavens, O God. Let your glory be above all the earth. They have prepared a net for my steps. My soul is bowed down. They dug a pit before me. They themselves have fallen into the midst of it. Selah. Now, I'm not an expert on Hebrew poetry. I wish I was. But you see that in the middle of this psalm, in the middle of this stanza, things kind of build up to a high point. And then they go back down and they build up again at the very end of the psalm. But as David processes through his desperation, as he cries out to God, as he begins to process and trust God, you see now that he begins also to align his priorities with the priorities of God. His situation is desperate. Saul and his men are violent, they're armed, and they're interested in one thing, killing David. They're not interested in taking him prisoner. They're not interested in beating him up. They're not interested in robbing him. They want to kill him. They want to cut his heart out. And David starts praying. And as humans, we're naturally concerned with our comfort, with our health, with our wealth, with our stuff. But as David starts praying, he starts aligning his priorities with God's glory. And all of a sudden, as he prays through from desperation to trust, he starts beginning to line up his priorities from his own personal health, his own personal comfort, to the glory of God. Knowing that God will work, knowing that God will in the end be glorified, that becomes then David's priority. So as we go through desperation, as we cry out to God, as we pray through our pain and process from desperation to trust, we find also now that prayer is also the mechanism to align ourselves with God's priorities. Now my priorities are often, as I said earlier, my comfort, my health, my financial status, feeling good, whatever. You want to fill in the blank there. God's priorities are His glory, the transformation of His people, and the redemption of the lost. And so as we pray through our situation, prayer can be a mechanism, or the mechanism, by which we can realign our priorities from ourselves and our own personal things to the priorities of God. And that's what David does here. As he prays through his situation, and he goes from looking at himself, he goes to a point of aligning his priorities with the priorities of God, specifically the glory of God. And then we see the result in the last stanza, the exaltation of David. My heart is steadfast, O God. My heart is steadfast. I will sing, yes, I will sing praises. Awake, my glory. Awake, harp and lyre. I will wake in the dawn. I will give thanks to you, O Lord, among the peoples. I will sing praises to you among the nations, for your loving kindness is great to the heavens and your truth to the clouds. And again, he repeats what he says in verse 5. Be exalted above the heavens, O God. Let your glory be above all the earth. One of the things we see in Scripture is that outer turmoil and even deep emotional pain can coexist with a heart of peace. In the midst of this desperate situation, in the midst of certain death, David goes from a situation of emotional desperation to a heart that's steadfast. His heart is steadfast. He's able to praise God. He's able to even give thanks to God. He's able to worship God in the midst of a very difficult and hard situation. When we go through desperate times, we go through the storms of life, we need to process through these times with God. We need to cry out to God. We need to go and process through them and go from a point of desperation to a point of trust. And we need to also go from our own priorities, aligning them from ourselves to God. And prayer is the mechanism to do that. Prayer is the mechanism by which we cry out to God. Prayer is the mechanism by which we go from desperation to trust. Prayer is the mechanism by which we realign our priorities with the priorities of God. So my conclusion, my takeaway is that a disciple depends on God in all times. So that starts with first knowing God. You know, we know God the Father through faith in the person and work of God the Son, Jesus. And if you have placed your faith in Jesus, if you have trusted that Jesus has died on the cross for your sins and rose from the dead, you're forgiven of your sins, you know God, and you're indwelt with God the Spirit. So it starts with being people that know God. But it continues. It's founded on being a person that walks with God. You know, they say that David was a man after God's own heart. As I said before, that can be a very daunting and almost discouraging term. Because I know that I struggle with so much sin in my life. I know the darkness in my heart. I know the evil that I struggle with. And if you're like me, then you feel the same way. But David was, he was a regular guy. He struggled with sin. He was a sinner. But what made him a man after God's own heart was that he pursued and desired and valued relationship with God above all things. And so as people who know God, we need to be people who also value relationship with God and pursue relationship with God. So we need to be people that walk with God, that value that, that practice that in our daily lives. Walking with God, knowing God, relationship with God is the foundation of discipleship. And as people who know God, who walk with God, we should be people then who then depend on God in all times. Dependence is coupled with lordship. When I think about discipleship and I think about what it means to be somebody that depends on God, depends on God to meet my needs, depends on God to meet all my needs, not just my physical needs, but my emotional needs, my spiritual needs, my social needs, all my needs. It's coupled also with having a heart whose priorities are the priorities of God. That means that I need to subject my comfort. I need to subject my health. I need to subject everything about me to God and His will for my life, so that He may be glorified, so that I may be transformed, so that I may be used by Him to help transform others, so I may be used by Him to help in the redemption of the lost. Because God's priorities, even though God loves every aspect of you and me and has promised to meet my needs and your needs, His priorities are His glory, the transformation of people, the redemption of the lost. And I have to say that to myself over and over again. I have to think about that over and over again. I need to study Scripture about that over and over again. I need to pray through that over and over again. Because my natural state is to be consumed with myself. And if I want to be a person that depends on God in all times, I need to align my priorities with His. Independence is something that needs to occur in all times, good and bad. I say this because when I go through bad times, and you may be the same, for some reason, it's easier for me to trust God and depend on Him than when I go through good times. And if we're going to be people that depend on God, that learn the discipline of daily dependence as we live out discipleship, then we need to learn to depend on God on all times, good and bad. You know, God allows the storms of life. And one reason He does, is to keep us on our knees. Because when we're on our knees, when we're weak, we're strong. When we're on our knees, we're depending on God. When we're on our knees, we're pouring our heart out before God. When we're weak, we're crying out to God. But when things are good, when your relationships are good, your marriages are good, your finances are good, your job's good, whatever, fill in the blank, sometimes it's easy to forget about God. And to say, hey, you know what? Things are going pretty good for Bob. I don't really know if I really need God today. But that is a lie. Because we, each one of us, desperately need God every day. And so we need to be people who, like David, practice dependence on God at all times. I met a guy this past week. I was doing anesthesia on a person, and I was talking with him, and he had his wife and his friend with him. And they were believers. And it turns out his friend had lost her 13-year-old daughter in the past month to the flu virus, influenza. I've been talking to some of my pulmonologist friends, and this year has been one of the worst years of the flu that they've seen in several years. And a lot of young, healthy people have caught the flu, and it's just shut down their lungs, their ability to breathe, their pulmonary system. And young, healthy people have died. And this guy lost his 13-year-old daughter. And honestly, I didn't know what to say. But he was saying how he was, you know, trusting God and, you know, working through this with the Lord. You know, I was thinking about that. It really impacted me because I was thinking, you know, I don't know if I could do that, honestly, personally. If you lose, a child, and you go before God and you say, you know, God, what is the value in that? How's that supposed to be, you know, some kind of, how's that redemptive? How's that good? How does that fit into the plan that you have for me and my family? You know, life has its storms. And we never know what they are or when they're going to hit. And when we hit desperate times, it does require desperate measures, but it requires desperate prayer. It requires desperate prayer. When I look at what David did in Psalm 57, I see these three principles of desperate prayer. Desperate prayer cries out to God honestly and desperately. Desperate prayer processes through to from desperation to trust. Prayer is the mechanism by which we go from desperation to trust. And desperate prayer is the mechanism by which we align our priorities with God's. So, I want to encourage you to be people, families, couples, individuals, small groups, and we as a local body in Christ, that we should be people who depend on God in all times. And when the storms of life hit, when desperate times occur, that we pray desperately, that we cry out to God, that we go from desperation to trust, and we go from our own personal priorities to aligning our priorities with the priorities of God, His glory, the transformation of His people, and the redemption of the lost. Let me close this in a word of prayer. Dear Father in heaven, we thank You for Jesus, our Savior, who died on a cross for our sins and rose from the dead and made a way for us, Lord, to know You. Thank You, Lord, for the life we have in Christ. Father, You in Your sovereignty and wisdom and love have allowed us to go through times that can seem very desperate and difficult. Father, help us to be individuals, to be people that depend on You in all times. That when we hit desperate times, we pray desperately. That we cry out to You honestly. That we process through from death to a point of trust, and that we align our priorities with Your priorities. Thank You for our body. We ask things in Jesus' name. Amen.